is going on? Welcome to Crew 3 Podcast. I was working with you as always. Our mic host, Chris and Ricky. Do you want to say hello?
Hey.
What up?
All right. We are here for your last minute RC cram session.
That's right.
Because this comes out right before. So we're not going to tell you what deck you should be playing because hopefully you're listening to this on Friday when it comes out. And you already know what deck you're going to be playing, right? Hopefully by Thursday night you have decided what you're going to be playing. But those of you who are looking for some last minute ideas, I guess we can help with that. Otherwise, we're going to kind of break down some of the decks to look out for, some of the key changes that we've seen, especially since the BNR announcement from a week ago. So yep. Let's dive in, shall we? Before that, so layout for this week is we're going to look at, we're going to kind of briefly talk about some of the Ravnica Remastered stuff. Some of the fun Shocklands, some of the cool reprints for Pioneer, they're going to be in there. And then we're going to dive into, we got three challenges and a showcase qualifier. And then, like I said, we're going to use those to springboard into RC discussion and kind of give you a last minute thought, provoking discussion on best decks, the format, and all that kind of good stuff that people want to hear from some talking heads on the internet. So let's dive right in. I mean, all of Ravnica Remastered is spoiled, essentially. We got some fun ones. I mean, I am excited to finally get Mayhem Devil Foils at a reasonable price.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Old Border Dark Foils. Confidant.
Old Dark Border Confidant. Foils. Dark Confidant. Not Pioneer. Teferi Time Raveler.
That's not in Pioneer. Oh.
That's not in Pioneer. Thank God.
You know what? Once you
realized.
I was going to say, one thing I was looking for but didn't see was, did they put birds in there? Birds of Paradise.
It is, yeah.
Okay, good. That's what I was the one thing yeah. that I was like, oh, I didn't see that. But that is one that I really, everybody, you know, obviously people are going to go with the, oh, I like the 94 version of birds because the old version is a cool version. The Ravnica birds are some of the most beautiful birds, right? I think the alpha birds.
It is the Ravnica birds art too, so.
That's a good one. Ravnica also had a good bird. The worst one is like the elf with the brain helmet. That one's weird. But sure. The original birds art and the
Ravnica. That's a Llanowar elf, not a bird.
You're right. It's Llanowar elf. You're exactly right. But original birds, Ravnica birds.
That elf sure was the weirdest bird they ever printed, huh?
The elf sure is the weirdest one. Listen, I think I'm starting to come down with the bug. So
yeah,
you got me for however long here, you know?
Yeah. All right. I mean, we had some fun ones here. I mean, Lina General, that's a kind of fun one that saw a lot of play previously. Well, in Standard, right? Not really breaking into Pioneer.
Foils were the critics. It's going to happen finally.
What's that up? Card,
I think Foil Skewer the Critics before this set comes out, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's like, gotta be like $25 a pop. I'm not even kidding.
I mean, Mayhem Devil was like 12 or 15, right?
Oh, were they? I have Foil Mayhem Devils. Just have those.
Must be cool. I've got
like two. I don't have a lot. I have like one in the cube and yeah. then one.
I mean, I just love the three Planeswalkers of the set. Karn the Great Creator and Teferi Time Raveler.
Yeah. And Liliana and Gideon.
Yeah, what do you think of the anime arts? I love the Pack Rat.
The Pack Rat is the best part about the Pack Rat is he does not appear
in the draft
boosters. Yeah.
I love that we specifically took it out of draft boosters.
Right, there's like a list of cards that only show up in collector boosters for the draft format, such as like Pithing Needle, Rest in Peace, Enter the Infinite, like cards that are just bad and limited.
It's Shambling. So the full list is Shambling Shell. Sphere of Safety, Aetherize, Narc Amoeba, Turnabout, Creeping Shield, Dark Blast, Shattering Spree, Perilous Forays, Wilderness Wreck, Mage Rite Stone, Rest in Peace, Gigantoplasm, Pack Rat, Supreme Verdict, Pithy Needle, Karn's Bastion, Thespian Stage, End of the Infinite, Nifizzet Reborn, and Maze's End.
Wilderness Reclamation. It's going to get unbanned soon.
Oh! Nope.
We're going to go back to that balance. We're just going to unban. Who cares, you know?
Unban. Who cares?
That's right.
Calling it, Your Honor, my client pleads oopsie daisy.
We get Old Border Totally Lost.
Ooh, that's good. That's a good one.
And the new Cloud Raptor makes it look like a bird.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I think this is a pretty solid reprint set. It definitely feels like it's better than Dominaria Remastered.
Yeah, does feel like that.
Does it feel like that? There's no Force of Will. I'm excited to draft this.
I think Dominaria Remastered had like some big hits, right? But I think like this is pretty well spread out. Yep. We also get our first Old Border Hybrid card, which is really cool with Deathrite Shaman.
It looks weird.
It does.
I'm not sure. I feel like they should have gone at more of a slant than rather than like half and half.
Mm-hmm. Coming soon to Pioneer Lightning Helix Old Border reprint.
Yeah.
Yep. Is it Char in the Old Border? Crackling yeah. Break? I can now just own every blue-red card in Old Border.
Old Border Arboreal Grazer, though.
Yep. Some of the anime arts are pretty sick, and some of them are pretty bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Tide Spout Tyrant. Yo, put on some pants, dude.
He's buff.
No.
I just, that's the anime, one that really gets to me. And
anime then, like, Fibblethip is great.
Yeah, that one's got some stuff going on, that's for sure. I think anime Hellkite Tyrant looks amazing. The anime Arclight Phoenix, pretty yeah, I was excited. Good. But doesn't have the flavor text.
Mm-hmm.
None of these cards have flavor text on them.
Anime Guardian Project is like the sick power-ups that we've... Like, that's someone who's getting ready to go into the pod to go be Super Saiyan, you know?
I really love the anime Karloff.
He's having a blast.
While money is raining on him.
Yeah.
I don't like anime Savra because...
Anime Savra's too hot.
Savra's like a bad guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. Cool stuff. Exciting cards.
I think it's really cool. I will say, you know, Nate was talking about like, oh, you should get like three Shocklands in a draft box. And I'm like, well, you could get three Shocklands or a Chromatic Lantern.
Chromatic Lantern?
Jeez. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that. How it's being split up is every pack, every draft booster has a night. So it's like 58% chance your pack there's a color fixing slot. 58% chance of you opening a gate. 33% chance of you opening a signet. Or 9% chance of you opening either Chromatic Lantern or a shock.
It's a 50-50 there, huh?
Can you still
get 4.5 for a shock, 4.5 for a Chromatic Lantern?
Can you still open shock? So can you open double shock packs and then maybe triple shock packs because of the foil?
Shocks on shocks.
So
shock,
there
shock,
is
shock,
shock, every draft booster contains one retro, common, uncommon, rare, or mythic. So there's so you could potentially, I guess, get two.
We can hit retro. We can hit the mana fixing slot, and we can hit the regular rare slot and the foil slot. So we could open a four. I want to see it. I want to see whoever opens it take the picture, Photoshop it so it makes it look real. But I want
to. How are we hitting four? It would only be three.
We have a mana fixing slot.
Yeah.
All right. We have the old bordered slot.
Yes.
We have our regular rare slot.
Can they be a regular rare?
I would assume. It's a rare.
Six is what you're saying.
And then we have the foil slot. So we can pull a whole playset of Blood Crypts in one pack.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't watch the stream. I was reading the article. So I don't know if that will be, if they can be in the non-mana fixing slot is the thing.
And you better be able to open them in the collector boosters.
Oh, you have a 42% chance of opening a Shockland in the collector booster.
Yeah.
You get a refund if you don't get to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I know, like, it doesn't really matter, but it makes my heart happy. To see rare.
Okay, here's your answer, Ricky. Oh, okay. Shocklands, Guild Gates, and Chromatic Lantern can also appear in the retro frame elsewhere in the pack slot. So I don't think they can be your regular rare.
Okay. I'm just going to say, if it makes me happy to see that the worst rare that plagued my childhood for opening so many stupid copies of this card every time we opened packs of Ravnica, Woebringer Demon, is still in the set, but moved down to uncommon.
There we go.
That's the kind of nostalgia hit I need. Wow. The worst card you could open
is now my
uncommon. What does that card even do?
It's a 5-mana 4/4 fire, and you have to sacrifice a creature every turn.
Okay.
And if your opponent can't, you lose your demon.
Oh.
Or if you can't, you lose your demon, but that won't happen because you always can sack the demon.
Sure.
Right. Anyways.
All right. Let's talk about events.
Pioneer.
Pioneer. All right. Start with our first challenge over on Friday the 8th. In 8th place, we have Ugjo on Mono Black Discard. We have Rum Lum Lummel on Rakdos Midrange. We have Jahacer 1 on Rakdos Midrange. 5th place, Tom B. Simon on Abs and Amalia Combo. 4th place, we have Broniac on Azorius Lotus Field. 3rd place, we have Ginkgo HS on Hidden Strings. 3rd place, we have BHE on Rakdos Sacrifice. 1st place, we have Ale MTG on Grixis Phoenix.
Yeah. It's really the Mirror Phoenix. It really is. We need to stop calling it Grixis Phoenix. Thank you. I want to know how they won their semis, because they had to play one version of Lotus Field. Hopefully they played the control Thoughtseize version. I do have Thoughtseize. And they do have Shieldred. Okay,
I'll find out for you. I have the bracket here. So they played against
Lotus Field is still just your worst matchup always.
They start off by playing against Discard, and then they played against Azorius.
Ashiok Dream Render in the sideboard. Your opponents can't search libraries.
To stop Court of Calling?
Yeah.
Well, also exiles their graveyard. It stops Emergent Ultimatum, right?
Emergent Ultimatum.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't play against it, though, so they played against Azorius.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right. Okay.
I was like, you already eat the Amelia combo deck alive playing Phoenix.
Yeah.
Once again,
I don't know. I'm not sure that matchup is as one sided as you say it is. Especially with this version is pretty good with the go blanks, where like you can get rid of the Return of the Ranks. But you know, they draw Return of the Ranks, you could be in trouble. They can just explore their cards to the graveyard to laugh at you and then get them all back. You know,
I will spoiler. I will still say I think Phoenix is probably the best deck right now. But I do think Amali isn't free for Phoenix.
Now listen here. We should come clean.
Uh-huh.
I owe Ricky an apology.
Right? Sure.
Because last week I sat here on this podcast and I told everybody that Phoenix was just terrible. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Phoenix is just now the worst deck.
You say that you weren't going to play Phoenix at the RC?
I know.
Because Smuggler's Coffers invalidates the deck.
I should have listened.
And we can have this moment.
I should have listened to Almighty Ricky.
Because I'm gonna reach down, you know, reach down to the little people. I'm going to admit, my big problem about all of these changes
were
that they happened way too close to the RC. Something like co-hosts don't know about because they don't go to the RC.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if I could know life in this grind, RCQs all weekend, every weekend, I think I would also be there.
I ran this bit by Ruckman first because I was like, there's no way that he would ever admit that he was wrong, right?
And I'm down to admit that I'm wrong.
I was like, no. And so that's why I did this. At first, I was going to approach it from a different angle. Then I was like, this bit is much funnier, is just to say, oh, in the way. But as we can see, the Phoenix has risen from the ashes of Ricky's dreams. And it has proven itself that when creature decks are going to be number one, Phoenix is right there with them, ready to battle.
Doom and Gloom, and then I had to go and just...
Hold on.
Thankfully, something that we will never see in any of these top eights, right? We will not see any Smuggler's Copter. Card's bad, unplayable, is not going to change Pioneer at all, is not a mistake. Definitely not going to be played at all.
Right.
But, you know, once again, once playtesting happened, we got to play some games, right?
Yep.
After, like, literally things you would not ever expect to happen, right? Happened, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, if you were the president of this Crew 3W organization, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you built up your Crew 3 wrestling stable on two big towers that could never fall over.
Uh-huh.
And then one of them fell over a week before Crew 3 Mania, right? Right.
Sure.
Even though, like, you know, there's no way that could possibly happen. You're going to panic a little bit until you realize that your other tower is just strong.
And it's you should listen to your other tower trying to tell you, don't worry. You can beat the people that tore down the other tower. You can beat those crackheads we gave pickaxes to. It's only to go find the meth.
I don't think you can say that. I don't think you can say that. If I can't open boxes, we can't be calling people. We can't be calling people names like that. Also, I think Ruckman brings up a fantastic point, which was, I think that the point that we had was that we got a little bit ignored. We got a little bit ignored in some of the panic that people were having, who, again, as I posted on our Discord, you know, they were stressed out, prepping for RC, so I understand. But we did pretty accurately, if I might add also, say what was going to happen, and even cited some people like the great Jerry T, who thought that Phoenix was a big winner of this, and were a little bit ignored. But at the end of the day, all things are right. No harm, no foul. Ricky's back on the Phoenixes. He's riding the birds.
I don't blindly just like, oh, Pro said this. Has to be true.
Well,
we didn't either.
If I go back to a Discord screenshot that I took,
I believe everybody was sharing
an article by LSV and quoted that very heavily. So I'm not sure.
But I didn't give up on it. I tried the Phoenix deck out myself. I made a lot of changes to the Phoenix deck.
This is fair. He's a changed man.
I'm just saying, when suddenly, like, your best free matchup is banned,
sure,
completely new card that should never have come back is added, you know?
Yeah.
But I was wrong. You know, time makes a...
Ruckman, if you can go ahead and loop that real quick, if you can go ahead and put that on the soundboard.
No, that's definitely going to add to it. Also, hold on, Ricky, I got to ask, is that the Magic Hot Pocket box on your shelf behind you?
Why, yes, it is. It is a box of Chandra Hot Pockets.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's incredible.
The Hot Pocket's still sealed inside, right?
We should have been, honestly. They were terrible.
We're gonna give that shelf.
We're gonna give that to someone along with like a 20-year-old bottle of Crystal Pepsi and have them try them later.
Oh man. But all things considered, I don't think that the meta is in a terrible place. I just do think that that Smuggler's Copter is still a mistake.
Would you think that all things considered you're doing just fine, that you've rushed through life?
I would not. Okay. Also, Return of the Ranks are $20 each now?
Yeah.
I'm
rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as someone who has been buying into Amalia combo way before the spike happened, the ban list happened, I didn't pick up my Return of the Ranks, and now I'm waiting until the RC's over and scalpers stop trying to, like, because the problem is they're not listed anywhere. So essentially supply was just pulled off the market because that's many people did not buy those cards. They just got pulled off the market. So once the RC's over, I'm going to be picking up some foil Return of the Ranks. Otherwise, I have the rest of the deck foiled out. Look at these.
Return of the Ranks.
Look at these.
Those are good. Those are good. The fire shoes ones. Yeah.
They're not foil though, so you know I need to get some foils.
Man, I have them because of Zombie Rally.
Of Rally, yeah.
It's a deck that I'm going to pull back out of retirement after the RC's done, and I can play Pioneer for fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to play some. All right, let's. I mean, what else we got in this top eight? Anything else worth noting in this top eight? I mean, this Aureus Hidden Strings deck like keeps hanging around. I still don't like this deck. I'm going to be very honest. This is personal bias. I still don't like this deck at all.
Which one?
The Azorius Strings, Azorius Lotus, yeah.
Well, it's a very hard deck to play.
I will say it definitely got better with Amalia combo being a big thing in the format, right? Your Strict Proctor also just helps shut down that combo.
Yep.
Incidental
value, we call that one.
Yeah. Sure. I just don't like the deck.
Deck in second place that's running Smuggler's Copter and three Inti.
Three, yeah. This deck is. I like it.
Four Leyline of Void.
I was talking. I'm going to save this conversation for after we talk about these events because I have. Yeah. I have opinions on...
I kind of want to talk about the events. Let's just go through them, and then we can talk about the Nation of the Meta game.
Yeah. All right. So I want to talk about some of the other decks if you come down here. Ninth place, we have a Artifact Builder Sack. So we got some Onycle Anvils. We got some Shrapnel Blasts. We got some Lethal Demolitions. Doing some fun things here. 14th place, we have Siltai for Life playing an artifact-based build Azorius Control, built around Tesseract Betrayer, Flesh, Karn, Sign of Urza. We got one spell, Pierce, four Distortion Protocol, three Metallic Rebuke, four Thirst for Knowledge, four Supreme Verdict, four Portable Hole, two Soulguide Lantern, two Witching Well, one Glass Casket, one Maze Mind Town, one, two Rankler Bankbuster, four Spring Loaded Saw Blade. I tell you what, I think you're just a couple temporary lockdowns away from this deck being super hype. And this is a fun control build, kind of out of left field there. At 15th place, you have King Harry with our first look at, I'm going to call it Gruul Copters now, because yeah, we don't got no boats no more.
It's more like Gruul Sagas still. Once again, yeah, still a lot of Sagas.
We have more vehicles than Sagas, though, now.
We do. We are playing Tranquil Thrillback mainboard.
Yeah.
Playing Sentinel of the Nameless City. Rimrock Knight? My boy, giving him the Boulder Rush?
Oh, man, I've had a Boulder Rush too before. We don't talk about that. And then 32nd place, we have Tulio Huadi on Celestia Midrange. And this is, if you want to talk about a Court of Calling pile, this is a Court of Calling pile. I think we're missing some Huntsman's Redemption to help our...
Or Smuggler's Copter. Deck's good.
Yeah. It's got to be, right?
I don't know Rhetoric.
Be afraid, Ricky. Be very afraid.
Legion Angel. With three more in the board.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like... I like the idea of this deck list, but I feel like we need some Huntsmen in here to help us tutor up, because we don't have... really doing anything else here tutoring wise, so just a thought there. Wait, what does Huadi do? Huadi is looking for basic land. Yeah, never mind. You don't do what we need to do. Okay. Alright, that's kind of it for that challenge. Let's move on here to our challenge
dinosaur?
On
okay, hold on. What dinosaur do we get?
What dinosaur are we getting?
Frillback. Huadi. Oh, Frillback is the only dinosaur?
Yeah.
Does a lot. It's a versatile one, right?
It does do a lot. All right.
Is there anything else we can get? I don't think so.
Nope. Next event.
In the board? Yeah. All right. Moving on to Saturday. In 8th place, Azorius Control by Young Prodigy. 7th place, we have Darius 89 on Abs Animalia. 6th place, we have Burnt Taco 77 on Azorius Control. 5th place, we have Mizzle. We have, sorry, Mizzle.
I don't know.
Four Color Fires. Fourth place, we have Remph on Bant Spirits. Third place, we have Fingers 1991 on Rakdos Midrange. Second place, Is It Phoenix? And first place, so is the Angels by Responsibly Stupid. Kind of surprised we haven't seen Angels make a lot of comeback following the reprint, right? Just a bit shocking here. Is the format...
problem I see there is, like, I think if you have the right matchups, right, like, Angels can definitely do it, but, like... This is a very, very matchup dependent metagame right now.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it definitely feels like we're into a lot of lopsided matchups, which again is one of the reasons I don't like Copter, is it really forces you into a certain style of deck and push a certain style of deck. So, like, you know, great, if you're the Angels deck and you're not seeing a bunch of, you know, removal heavy decks, particularly ones that play black removal, because red removal can be a little bit tough. A lot of your removal is 3 damage, and you have some stuff that can get up to 4 toughness or is 4 toughness naturally in your Angels deck. So, you know, hey, that's great. But if you face people who are just playing a couple actual removal spells, you're kind of just dead in the water. You know, like, you've always been okay, but the people who are preying on Copter decks with, you know, Bitter Triumph style things, Fatal Push style cards, those are not good matchups for you, and those could be plentiful, depending. And also, again, you can go up to 80-something life, but the Amalia deck's just going to do it better.
That's the thing is, like, this deck's only response to Amalia is, like, Cocooing into Skyclave, right? Like, or hitting the Skyclave after they pass back. So that's pretty rough. But, I mean, if you're running into Phoenix, though, you're pretty happy to run into Phoenix, I feel like.
Yeah, again, just because the life gain can be very strong. It depends on how strong. I mean, I've definitely beaten the deck as Phoenix, right? But I was playing, I will say that I was playing Thing in the Ice. Sure. And their start was a little bit slow, right? Because I don't play anything turns 1-3. So you get time to set up with whatever your deck is. Mm-hmm. So if you're more of a combo deck, you know, the Angels is like, oh, great, we're playing Angels still? You know what I'm saying? So,
sure.
And I think your combo matchups can be pretty rough there. Your black removal deck can be pretty rough. So, again, if you have the right run, this deck can be pretty sweet. But I'm not sure it's, you know, like the hotness that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
We've got a Bant Spirits deck.
I know, right? Yeah,
Bant Spirits. So I definitely think that now is the time that to be switching back into we essentially have time to Coco again.
Yeah.
Was playing Errant and Giada, so that way you can play your Smuggler's Copters off the top rope and Tishana's Tidebinders. This is kind of sick.
Yeah, I like Tidebinder a lot. Yeah, I just think that now you, like I said, you have time to cast Coco again, and we don't just need to have like the card advantage beatdown strategy of just plant guy, give it curiosity, and just don't let our opponent resolve anything. Now, there are things you still have to stop and interact with, but since a lot of those are now creature-based interactions, now you have the benefit of like, oh, we can just Coco into Skyclave Apparition again. We can just, we don't have to, we can let things resolve and kind of deal with it once it hits the board. We don't have to like counter Karn before it comes down anymore, do stuff like that.
Right.
So now we have the benefit of, like I said, going back to playing a Coco build again.
And we've got a old friend of Enigmatic Yorion.
Oh, jeez. Just let playing it. And
four up the beanstalk, three path to the world tree, and a whole lot of
one-ups. That card is banned.
What the beanstalk doing?
What the beanstalk do?
Going up.
Yeah.
On Tuesday.
Does Leyline Binding just get it done anymore?
Yeah,
I think Leyline Binding is pretty darn strong.
Yeah.
You know? I think that Leyline Binding is still a really great removal card. Scary to Chris, you know, and also still gets you a Traxa. So,
sure,
yeah,
I think the card's still pretty strong. And I mean, so is Fable. Like, it is just all the good cards except for Smuggler's Copter. Very strange. We're not playing Smuggler's Copter, but you know,
what are we crewing it with?
Deputy of Detention can crew it. Glasspool Mimic can probably crew it. Yeah, we crew it.
I don't know. I just don't think we have stuff.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But this was like
with Tolstomir's Wolf.
I think this is the event where it was just like Abzan control decks just out here temporarily locking down everything and everyone.
Yeah.
Card has gone way up in my opinion in just like how good that card is.
Oh, 100%. I'm amazed. I mean,
our sixth place player is only playing one copy main while our eighth place is playing four.
Yeah, four still seems like a lot.
Is a weird deck in sixth place.
In sixth place, what do we got here?
Control, but we're playing things like Regal Cackrel and three Kazuli's Flanker in the sideboard.
Well, Caracol is the Firaxis.
No, for sure. But like Kazuli's Flanker?
Well, Flanker, you just get to flash in and just bomb the yard, right?
I guess so. You're not using the other modes. I've seen this like in a Convoke list to like,
sure.
You know, instead of just trying to beat the board wipe, you just play this after the board wipe and win the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quick study. There's some good cards in here.
I mean, look, it's got temporary lockdown. That's like all, that's all we need. I think Azorius stock definitely went up with just how impactful temporary lockdown really turned out to be post ban. I think that's what's going to help keep out. Cause I mean, you see there's so far a distinct lack of, like Convoke running around these events. I do think like uptick in things like Lockdown helps that out. I've looked at 14th place. We have Haluka on Gruul Bard Class.
Oh, mine actually stops at 13th place.
Oh, weird, huh? funny how that happens. That in 27th place, we have Teemu on a pretty fun like Rakdos discard build here. Almost mono red. On 4 Bowmet Courier, 4 Flameblade Adept, 4 Valarin Epicure, 4 Inti, 4 Flamewake Phoenix, 4 Bloodhall Priest, 4 Lightning Axe, 2 Claim to Fame, 4 Fiery Temper, 4 Copter. I just think, like, if there is a deck that's going to break out this weekend, I do think it's going to be some form of Smuggler's Copter Inti Shell. I think that's a deck that just, like, is a powerful interaction we just haven't really seen a lot of heading into this weekend. And so I think, like, if that's the secret sauce, that's what it's going to be. Moving on to Sunday's challenge. In eighth place, we have Hiro Tsukai on 4 Color Quintorius. We have Trash Boat 100 on Boros Aggro. What is this? Is this Convoke? What is this? This is Heroic Okay. Sixth place, we have Scuda 04 on Rakdos Midrange. Fifth place, we have Selezneal on Amalia Combo. Third place, we have Azatoy Yellow on Izzet Phoenix. Second place, Joester 87 on Amalia Combo. And then first place, Vampire Nighthawk on Izzet Phoenix.
There's the Phoenix Watch.
No thing of the ice again in this build. We're still on 4 Shredder, 4 Prankster, 1 Brazen Borrower this time. Here's kind of the difference. Ricky, what do you think of still... Brazen Borrower
is sick in this deck right now.
Yeah.
You can get it off Pick Block Prankster, which is hot.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the deck still holding on to Iteration Trespass?
So Iteration Trespass is really bad in every single possible matchup you can run into. Absolutely terrible, and the best thing about it is that it's the first two cards you pull out when you sideboard. It's kind of free. Okay. However, in the mirror, it's unbeatable. It's the they're the best two cards in the mirror, and you will win game one of the mirror against, you know, every time with Temporal Trespass and Galvanic Iteration. So your results may vary, depends on the number of Phoenix. I'm not playing it, but I will say in testing the Phoenix mirror against lists that played it, I just could not win. Like every game one, eventually they would either Galvanic a Treasure Cruise or Galvanic the Temporal Trespass, and I just couldn't win anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very good cards in the Phoenix meta, very bad against the field.
Sure.
Funnily enough, I was singing the praises of one Izzet Charm about a month ago before the format, you know, got flipped upside down. Izzet Charm, probably not the play right now. Unfortunately, 3 damage is really the marquee, I think, amount you need to be doing to deal with Smuggler's Copter, to deal with Wild Growth Rockers.
It counters Copter on the way down.
It does counter Copter. You do have some counter magic options there. But this is one of those.
Izzet Charm right now.
What's that?
I'm back on Izzet Charm right
Ricky's
now.
Ricky's back on it. Ricky's a believer.
I was on 2 Spell Pierce, but I think 2 Spell Pierce is too not good right now.
Yes.
So I'm playing 1 Spell Pierce, 1 Izzet Charm, and it allows me to also mitigate when I get Phoenixes stuck in hand.
I think that's totally fair. Again, that's a card that, although I've been talking about it, it has not been picked up. As Ruckman keeps asking me to say, I keep acting like it's like out there. But what I'm trying to say is, like, in the past, we've played a Braid in the main deck to deal with like hearses and things like that. Lists are not doing that right now, but it would make sense to me if they would pick that up, because like you, I've played 2 Spell Pierces in Phoenix in the past and absolutely hated it. When you start playing dozens and dozens of games, you'll start realizing that is not a spell that gets your Phoenixes back. Like, sometimes I've countered my own spells several
times. I do that a lot. Yeah,
in order to try and get Phoenixes back, because sometimes you're just stuck with it in hand when you see so much of your deck, and it's not a card you're looking to always keep in the opening hand. You're not like, oh, snap, keep that one off. It's good, but it's not
exciting. It's best in your opening hand because it's going to be the most played on turns 1 through 3.
Of course it's the best card early. You know, that's true of a Mana Dork also, right?
Right. I don't
want to. I'm just saying that, like, unlike a Mana Dork, I don't think it's like the deciding factor is like a 1 or 2 of to go like, oh, look. You know what I'm saying? There are other things you're looking for in a Phoenix hand. So don't get me wrong. I totally see it as like, hey, this is better than Spell Pierce because it has flexibility. I'm all about that life. But previously I was playing like 3, right? I was on like the 3 of because the flexibility, and it was killing Appraiser.
Charm?
Yeah. It killed Appraiser. It counters Quintorius. Right? That was what I was talking about. This was like weeks ago when it was like it was doing all the things that we needed to do. It was also a counter spell to get you some incidental value against Lotus, get a small percentage matchup there. There was a lot of things that it was doing as far as like countering stuff and dealing 2 damage that was really, really important. But now that 3 is all too important with you know, Amalia Combo everywhere.
I agree with you. I would not play more than 1 Izzet Charm.
Yeah.
I like 1 Izzet Charm.
Izzet Charm. Izzet Charm is a 1 of makes sense because, again, 2 Spell Pierce is a rough one. I've definitely experienced that in the past.
It's kind of like if you were testing in a build with 3 Izzet Charm before the ban, and suddenly the whole world flipped upside down, you would need to, you know, you'd be in a bit of a crisis. You'd have to pick
a couple Izzet Charms from your deck. The humanity.
You would not be prepared.
Right.
Anyways, I like this list, though. Any list that does not play Otherworldly Gaze is a good list.
All right, Chris, I want your take on 7th place here, Boros Aggro. We got 1 Gigantha, 4 Favorite Hoplite, 4 Monastery Swisspear, 2 Dreadhorde Arcanist, 4 Illuminated Virtuoso, 4 10th District Legionnaire, 4 Ancestral Anger, 4 Defiant Strike, 4 God's Willing, 2 Homestead Courage, 4 Monstrous Rage, 4 Reckless Rage, 2 Spikefield Hazard.
Yeah, this is a wild one. I think, again, there's so much conversation to be had on these because, like, there's a couple decks we're just not seeing at all. Like, mm-hmm. we're not seeing mono-white humans anymore.
Yeah.
We're not seeing that deck, right? We're not seeing much Boros Heroic. We're not seeing any Convoke anywhere near the top 8 of these events.
Yeah. You know?
But a Boros Aggro sneaking through makes some sense to me, right? We can give these creatures trample and we kill really fast. So the only problem you can have is that, you know, again, Amalia has a lot of incidental life gain. And so sometimes that can cause you to be a little bit slow. But mm-hmm. a lot of the other decks, you have a lot of ways to stop removal, right? Particularly against things like Phoenix. So again, if you get a teeny bit lucky against Phoenix and see more of your God's Willings and or pump spells.
Yeah.
I've been on the receiving end of that where you're like, oh man, I just didn't draw 5 removal spells. I only drew 2 and that wasn't enough. You know, they had enough protection. They were smart and played around it. You know, lost to Jay Dizzle. I don't remember if I was playing Phoenix or what, but I was definitely playing some removal spells. And Jay Dizzle, our current Crew 3 champion, was playing Boros Heroic. And with the Monstrous Rage, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, leaves behind the trample mechanic. And this card's relatively unchanged over the last set. But again, the deck is very, very fast. And, you know, Virtuoso, if you untap with 3 lands, that's it. You are dead. That card becomes a 8/8 something. If you've got another Prowesser, right? Like, it doesn't take much to make that card just straight up lethal. And 3 untapped mana is usually the amount that I've seen to make it. So, you know, again, there's quite a bit of removal that I expect to be running around. And I'm not sure, again, what your Amalia matchup's going to be like, given the incidental life gain. But, you know, hey, you run a little bit hot. You're really familiar with the lines of the deck. I see this as being a fine deck.
What's funny is, if we had more copies of Get Lost, Heroic actually benefits from the Amalia ruling, like, one of the biggest ways, because of all of their cards that can target and pump Amalia up, or they have Lorne's Escape in the board to give the Wildgrowth Walker indestructible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
Monstrous Rage to make Amalia skip 20.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of, like, get to draw the game.
Yep.
Or make your opponent lose. Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. You have to break it if you have to get lost, right? But yeah.
That's so
takes
funny.
Takes two spells yeah. to win the game, but one to draw it.
Yeah.
Yep. 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 Yeah. Good. Makes sense there. So, but again, you know, we get a lot of good removal on the sideboard, right? We get Lorne's Escape for extra defense. We get Rending Volley, which is obviously incredibly strong. And of course, Get Lost, which, you know, we've all been talking about how that card is incredible, right?
Lost is insane.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Who was right, Bitter Triumph fans? Me. So Get Lost. Bitter Triumph
has also been seeing lots of play.
Not as much play as Get Lost.
We said Get Lost was good also. You just said Bitter Triumph would see no play.
I said Get Lost was better.
I also think that
it's a rare. Get
Lost was better. It's a rare.
Doesn't matter. We don't take rarity in consideration. We don't see rarity in this podcast.
Okay. Look at this 8th place list. Are we ready to talk about this list?
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Quintorius? What do we got?
Well, it's a Quintorius list, right?
4 Hulk, 4 Carnosaur, 4 Quinn, 2 Release the Winds, 4 Creative Outburst, 4 Elemental Masterpiece, 2 Bedeck Bedazzle, 4 Magma Opus. What are we...
Look at this sideboard.
What's the sideboard? Cavernous Holes. Languish Quick. Oh.
Oh. Plan B.
We NASA Quake.
We bring the Quake.
Yeah. I did love that one tweet that was like the Rakdos deck that was every hate piece for Malia combo.
This is kind of sick, though. Just the Quakebringer sideboard plan. Also, just like Release to the Wind. I guess I'm not kept up in the loop, but this card's kind of sick in this deck.
Yeah.
It's like way better than playing Clever Impersonator or anything like that, right?
Yeah, we just get a reset.
Well, that and like it also works with the other cards, right? Just like
sure.
If you hit it off of like Carnosaur, you just get to like go again. Like you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like it just has more utility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should we be playing not Elemental Masterpiece, but the other one, the uncommon one?
We're playing all of them.
Are we?
Yeah,
oh, we are playing creative. Okay, we're playing all 12. Okay, never mind. I was like, we can't Gear Hulk Elemental Masterpiece, but we can Gear Hulk Creative.
No, we're in all of them.
Okay, all right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Magma Opus is stonks way up, you know?
True. 13th place, we have Mono Black Midrange by Mogged. Kind of a bit of a throwback. I don't want to say it's entirely a throwback here, but kind of got some roots of the old Mono Black aggro list. We got 4 Bloodsoaked Champion, 4 Knight of the Ebon Legion, 2 Misery Shadow, 2 Gix, 4 Graveyard Trespasser, 2 Lord Skitter Sewer King, 3 Shieldred, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Thoughtseize, 2 Bitter Triumph, Smuggler's Copter. That's kind of a fun list here.
Did you know Smuggler's Copter loops on block?
What's up?
Did you know Smuggler's Copter loots on block?
Oh, yeah. But who's blocking with it?
I'm just saying.
Somebody is.
The virulent plague in the sideboard is kind of funny. Somebody got really tired of losing to Convoke.
And then they didn't show up this weekend.
Yeah. You know. So, really interesting.
Yeah, I got to tell you this. I was playing a little bit with the... What was that, Ricky?
I said Glistening Deluge. Also a weird one, in my opinion.
Glistening Deluge, huh?
Well, it kills all the Amalia pieces.
At sorcery speed, yes.
It's not the best.
But... I'm not saying, you know, I'm just thinking it's a weird one to see as it's two of, you know?
Yeah.
I had to stop and read.
Yeah. Oh, that must have hurt. That must have hurt.
That does.
Yeah,
hurt.
Yeah, I need to go. I have the idea. I just need to get this idea paid for. I need to commission. I'm gonna work on commissioning someone over the Christmas break to draw us just like hanging out of the Smuggler's Copter.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
We got to change that crew one, you know?
Yeah. We're all fighting over the stick, so who's driving?
I see what you're saying. I'm definitely driving.
Shotgun's lap.
Why is this a question?
18th place, Powen on Dimir Control. Nothing really to talk about here. It's kind of, you always see Dimir Control hanging around. All right, let's move on to the showcase, and then we can talk about final kind of preps and points to make as we head into the RC. 8th place, Evental Misstep on Is It Phoenix. 7th place, Karate Dumb on Amalia Combo. 6th place, Iananu on Reckless Midrange. 5th place, Set Online, Set O Line, sorry, on Garuda. What are we?
Garuda.
Okay, all right. 4th place, Lucas 261997 on 5 Color Midrange. 3rd place, Cannot Man on Reckless Midrange. 2nd place, Rosti 56 on Jund Midrange. And 1st place, Gracias Portanto on Amalia Combo. All right, let's go down to Garuda here. What are we doing here?
I love the thought process here, right?
Of Garuda? Okay.
And the thought process is, what's the worst part about playing Garuda?
Having all these cards stuck in my hand.
When they counter Garuda,
uh-huh,
and you lose before you get a trigger. Well, we now have 4, count them, 4 Cavern of Souls. And we
sure.
Demon or Kraken, yeah, your choice, and just make sure that we resolve that Garuda.
You
also just love this sideboard of 4 Leyline of the Void, 4 Leyline of Sanctity. Don't talk to me or my son ever again.
3 are kind of absolution that we can hit off Garuda.
Right. That card's fine. Just like a stopgap for, you know, and then Damping Sphere, because why not? The Iron Craig getting in here.
It's good to see Craig found some work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's always so adamant about it.
I'm a little surprised that card doesn't see more play, but it's like I said, it's a pretty fast metagame. You know, if the metagame slows down even a little bit, I think you'll have the time to...
If on turn 2 my opponent taps out to play Iron Craig instead of Smuggler's Copter,
right?
I have a feeling I'm walking away to the bank with that match.
Yeah, you're probably pretty happy with that one. That is probably true. Hey, an interesting one, because this is a very small drama that I want to talk about if I can. I think it's relatively minor. In terms of like, what do you think about online sportsmanship?
Right? Oh, okay, all right.
I think this is fine. I really do. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Karidatum was posted what we'll call, you know, the and still made top 8, but the you know, I'll call it a salty tweet, just in that it was like obviously like a very upset from their point of view thing, is that MTGO glitched.
Okay.
Right? And they were executing the kill on Gracias Portanto with Amalia combo. They had Adina in play, but MTGO has a loop detector.
Yes.
To figure out if loop's going on. Cause it's not a human, right? It can't see what we can all see, unfortunately, right, in a second, which is like Dina's doing something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Its loop detection is apparently off.
Yeah.
And, so they had a game ended a draw, right? But Karidatum had lethal on the stack, basically, executing these triggers when NTGO just said, oh, hey, loop detected, game's a draw.
Yeah, you have to mill on MTGO after a while.
Right. You have to start doing something to show it, but there was no way to know that, right? You were draining your opponent. You figured life total changes might count. No. But, you know, they tried explaining this in chat, and allegedly, if you believe this tweet, Portanto just said, well, I don't know. That is what you're saying doesn't make sense to me. Like, I think you misclicked. And like, if you misclick through your attack step, I'm not conceding. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
I win that game, you know? Some stories were tossed around, but it was really a question of like, well, what do you do? And I think it's mostly interesting because like, well, how do I know I'm not getting, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do I believe your story? Like all of a sudden, you know, it says game ends in a draw and it's like, well, maybe you misclicked somewhere, but you're, you know, asking me to scoop the game. So it's basically just like, well, do you think you should? I think the arguments for are, well, in this somewhat small community, you know, like, again, do you want to be that guy? Right. Is it going to matter that much at the same time?
So I'm just going to say like, yeah, right. Do you want to be that guy? But I feel like there's always been the attitude on Mitgo of like, when you start to play Splitter Twin, you can't just say, yes. I make infinite guys and kill you.
Right.
I think like, it's not the best thing, right? But like, that's just kind of the foundation that MTGO community has been built on. Is just like, when you play on a platform, you have to play by the platform's rules.
Right.
And like, it sucks you have to find out that way, but like,
it's the old school perspective where it's like, your opponent doesn't owe you anything. And that's kind of how I grew up also, right? I definitely grew up in the, well, like you can blame luck. You can blame your opponent all you want, but you know, you got to do what you can and you learn your lessons where you learn them, you know?
Yeah.
I think the issue in this case is that it was a weird bug. I do think trying to explain that to your opponent's going to be hard as far as like, oh no, this is just something that's like, okay, well, because they were upset they kept playing. But you know, again, it's like really, once you're past the heat of the moment, you know, I don't know how upset you can really be, but I kind of take that stance on it also, where it's like, you know, maybe it's not the nicest thing. You're probably not doing that person any favors going forward. You know, you're going to say,
hopefully you submit a ticket, you get some sort of reimbursement, right? But like, I don't know what much you could really do about that situation, especially if like, you know, this is kind of the impetus of us people finding out like,
right,
how that does that's how, work.
Like, that's how it used to be on like MTGO way back when.
That's what
like,
I'm saying. Yeah,
like flash in Deceiver Exarch, opponent is tapped out, untap Splinter Twin, put it on the Deceiver Exarch, tap the Deceiver Exarch, and then you go into chat and go, you know, could you concede?
Right.
To which your opponent, who is a wonderful human being, absolutely saint of a person, goes, no, idiot, I'm at 27. Good luck.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, you know, it's just, like, part of playing on the digital space, which kind of sucks, right? Where, you know, essentially what happened is, like, the Joey Wheeler falling over with the lethal attack on board, right? For all those Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans out there who know about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's just how it goes, unfortunately. You know,
we'll not be paying for my sister's eye surgery this time around.
Right, exactly. Sorry, but you played on MTGO, which I mean, I know is the only option for a lot of people, and it's definitely
Again, I'm not trying to say thing, like but also, it isn't a feels bad moment, right?
There's also like big events where it's just like, and MTGO just 5 rounds into this 9 round event just dropped half the players, and they've just been refunded. We can't play anymore.
Yeah. You know?
It's MTGO. What can you expect?
Yeah. It's a Digital Wizards product. What can you expect?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, let's talk about what these events mean. I mean, like, I pointed out that there's no Convoke in these. I think if you look back, right, the showcase, there's none in the top 16. On Sunday's event, there's one in the top 32. On Saturdays, there is none. Oh, there's one in the top 32. And then on Fridays, there is one on top 32. I mean, this is a deck that went from being like one of the most dominant, well-represented deck lists into kind of gone overnight. Like, what do you think, like, Amalia coming out to play and getting all that life is the big thing here. I mean, we're seeing, like I said, like blue-white control seat upticks with things like temporary lockdown. Is the meta just too hostile for that deck now as we head into RC weekend.
I feel like it's just sort of the easy thing to do early in a new meta is to play, especially in a new meta that has unlocked one of the best aggro tools we've ever seen that literally plays in every single deck, right? The first like knee-jerk reaction is to play the best aggro deck you can build.
Yeah.
And I feel like the snap back reaction to that is play decks that prey on aggro decks like Angels and Amalia and Control, right? And mid-range, I feel like being an aggro deck that doesn't really get to utilize Copter, unfortunately, is going to put you in a spot.
They were trying.
Right. It's going to put you in a spot that is like, now you're a subpar aggro deck in a world that hates aggro decks, right?
Sure.
So I just feel like at that point, now it's kind of really hard to hold on.
Yeah. I mean, when we're looking at like how do you think the format stacks overall? So like, I think, right, I still say Phoenix is top dog.
Sure.
I think Phoenix is super well positioned right now. That is to say, I don't think like decks like Amalia combo, obviously, probably even honestly, I'm still shocked at this.
Why
because
does she hurt so much? Why does she ward pay three life? That's just so absurd.
Look, it hurts to play with mommy. What can I say?
I know, right? But that being said, yeah, like Amalia. So it's definitely
gonna I think Brackus Midrange is up there, which is really surprising me because I still hold out that Sack is better. But the problem is with Phoenix being the best deck right now, that matchup is no bueno.
Yeah. It's slightly better for the Rakdos deck, especially now that
Midrange,
kills Planeswalkers. They have more resources that kills Planeswalkers because that's where out of the side it looks real good for Phoenix. You said everybody sideboarded a couple Walkers, and previously Rakdos didn't have a great way to kill those. And you know the interesting thing that I see here is like on multiple of these like Goldfish metagame summaries for most of these events, the top three decks make up like 60-something% of the metagame, which feels a little rare. Like, I feel like it's pretty rare that, like, I've seen, like, one deck at 20, another deck at, like, 15. Like, usually see one deck a little higher and then a bunch are, like, lower. It's more like 8-6s, right? A little more variety. We're definitely seeing a metagame arise where there's a top three or four decks that are tier one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like definitely as a result, I'm going to call it as a result of the Copter unbanning and then maybe potentially the banning of Karn, right? Because you're not seeing any mono green anywhere also. Nowhere sniffing around. A lot of the diversity has died down. You definitely, I think there's some decks you can play, but definitely these decks seem to be the more powerful ones, right? Like you definitely have some words, there's definitely some things running.
I see where you're coming from, right? And I also think this could be a case of, again, you know, I don't want to be like, well, the American RC is important, right? Realistically, it is. Like, I don't want to downplay the fact that Magic isn't played elsewhere in the world, right?
Yep.
But the American metagame is kind of like the American culmination of the metagame is kind of like the big turning point for a lot of the game, right?
It is.
That isn't to say that like other, like Europe, Japan historically has been a big influencer in the Magic metagame, right? But right now, I would say like South America also has a good split with like a lot of the online players, right? Yep. But, the American metagame is kind of like the big culmination of a lot of Magic, right? Yeah, and so,
right, I think that that's
it's just player count alone, right? Yeah.
And how many tournaments we have? Because again, we've always had more players. We have not always been top dog. Like when we first started playing, Japan was by far the best region in that country. Is the you know smaller than the size of Texas, land wise, right, or something like that? So it's like you know you look at. It's about the amount of tournaments and the quality of tournaments. And once like some of those circuits came around, like American Magic definitely took off and there's, you know, a lot of tournaments going on around these here United States. So it is a big deal for the metagame for sure.
Yeah. So, so I think that like, again, because the American metagame has to adapt so quickly to these changes last week, I do think that like what that means is I think you have a lot of players kind of, horse blind and this is a case of a lot of times. I think very easily it's a case of we can horse blinders on. These are like the top three decks. This is what we're going to play. I think that has been something that's also just plagued Pioneer for a lot of its history, and that like there is the mentality of these like couple decks are the cards. What's up?
The just play the good cards mentality.
The just play the good cards, right? Or like this is the best combo type of deal. Like in, that leaves the board to be so underexplored right now. And I do think that like it's a shame because I think right now with cards like Karn gone, and I think with something like Swather's Copter making other decks more viable from a standpoint of just like seeing cards, right? They don't say these decks should live because if your deck is it's the Spider meme of, well, if you're nothing without Copter, then should you have it in the first place, right? But I just think that like having this metagame right now, I just think that blinders are on and we're just going to stagnate out. And
don't think that Smuggler's Copter is a card that opens new deck building.
Sure.
It just goes in every deck, so it just reduces like, you know, it just makes deck like Rakdos Midrange plays four Smuggler's Copter.
Right. The number one Copter deck right now is Midrange. And as you might see, based on what I'm hearing about, like, you know, we know what a couple streamers are talking about playing. Several people are talking about playing Gruul Vehicles with Copter just because they played it before. It's got some good matchups. There's a couple bad matchups, but they like it against the spread of the field. You know, so those two decks that were already playing Vehicles. Gruul was already playing Vehicles, Rakdos was not, but these are two decks that were already established in the Pioneer metagame, just picked up Copter and are playing them, right?
They just slimmed a couple other cards and were just like, okay, now we can play Copter, right?
Yeah,
right.
So, like, I mean, it's not like Copter comes out and it's like suddenly all these decks are viable. It's like Copter comes out and it's just like, oh, the rich get richer, right? Smuggler's Copter is going to go in Rakdos, going to go in Gruul still. Not that like Gruul is like a huge meta share or anything like that, right? But once again, the other reason that Smuggler's Copter unbanning is boring and not exciting, right, is you think that it's going to open up like new decks, but really like the Karn ban is what opened up new decks, and Smuggler's Copter is just keeping those new decks like down.
The real Copter truth. It's coming. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's
coming.
I can't wait. It'll be a sick deck for sure. Like in the more casual environment at your local FNM, you know, at your store champs and at like maybe even RCQ levels, right? It's going to be a cool card for people because they can suddenly play this weird madness deck, right? And they'll have a lot of fun and maybe, you know, they'll get ninth or something, right? Sure. Maybe even win FNM or something. But in my opinion, I'm going to have fun with Smuggler's Copter. I'm going to play it in Zombie Rally and like do all sorts of weird fun stuff at like an FNM level. But at like the RC level, at like the preliminaries and the showcases and the challenges, right? It's just going to be used to make like the best decks, the decks that are just amalgamations of the best cards, better.
Yeah. So a couple of things like I wanted to quickly kind of talk about. I mean, what do you think are some like cards I think people who maybe haven't really put in the time recently, because I mean, you know, we're coming off of LCI, coming off of ban list. I think there's their tips or just anything else you kind of want to tell people to kind of keep an eye on, keep thinking about. I always want to say like card types aren't as invincible as they once were. I think a lot of decks playing, like all the white decks playing Get Lost at the sideboard now, like enchantments are so much more fragile than they ever have been. I think that's a massive deal is, you know, we have, like Chris said, you're not seeing mono white anymore, but I mean, mono white is going to be playing Get Lost. Like we don't need ossification anymore. We just have Get Lost and instant speed. I think you have a lot of decks now that with cards like Get Lost have instant speed responses to cards that either they couldn't answer before or were only answered by sorcery speed.
Yeah. You're still seeing some Enigmatic around, but not as much. And again, if Enigmatic becomes a problem, you have the answer. You know, like it's hard to foresee that deck unless something changes becoming like top tier, and fans of the deck might like that. Right. You might like that your deck can kind of sneak in. Right. It's not going to be on everybody's radar, which is fair and can be a valid reason to choose a deck. Right. You never want to be the you kind of want to be two steps ahead, right? You know whatever's in plan, you know whoever's going to react to that. But if you can be that third level, then you're truly euphoric, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, I mean, Get Lost does keep a lot of the things that I had a problem with, namely the number one most spookiest card in all of Pioneer, Leyline Binding.
Binding, yeah.
Yeah, keeps like that.
I think I'm going to come in here from the other side of it. I think that Get Lost is a card that makes people feel too safe. And I think it's a good sideboard card for sure. And it's a good card. And we need to blow up Temporary Lockdown, right? Mm-hmm. Still going to play it in mono white, but like it does not kill Copter.
Sure. One.
It gives your Amalia. Does it?
Is it not?
I thought this is non-artifact on it.
I'm pretty sure it says just destroyed enchantment creature planeswalker.
Oh, so it can kill a crew Copter. Card's a little better. But like with Amalia combo, they can just pop the maps and win.
Yeah, it says destroy target artifact creature enchantment. Yeah.
Right. I think that Amalia combo and why it's doing as well as it
creature
does right
enchantment
now,
planeswalker, not artifact.
Sure. Is because it's a little sneakier than it looks, and that you can just get beaten down.
Yeah.
By like a 7/7 Amalia. Or, you know, like this giant wild growth walker.
And there's a reason why, like, the deck still is playing, like, you know, 4 C-Note Scouts.
Right. And, like, you just can't race it because they gain so much life.
Yeah. I mean, I think Amalia has created a very interesting arms race in sideboard cards here. I mean, you're seeing, like, Knight of Dusk Shadow for the mirror.
Knight of Dusk Shadow is a really, really good.
What's the other one? Like, Blight Beetle, people are talking about.
Well, Blight Beetle doesn't stop them from gaining life. It just ends. It just draws the game.
Yeah.
Your opponent will draw if you have
Blight Beetle. Yeah. I've seen like all the red cards are like Quakebringer, even, right? Like we joked about Quakebringer earlier, but.
Royal Elemental.
Yeah. Roiling Vortex.
Yeah, that's the card I'm talking about, Roiling Vortex. Yeah.
Atarkus Command.
Atarkus Command just on the turn.
Yeah.
So there's definitely hate cards out there for it, but it is a little trickier than just shutting down one combo. I do still think Phoenix is a great matchup against it, especially if you're playing Thing in the Ice, but as I said, it is shifty and it's better than it looks. The deck does not look as good as it plays.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts there on like Get Lost, I think is a good card for sure. But
sure.
I think, you know, it's not really – I don't think it rest easy. You can't just shove to Get Lost in your deck and go, I can beat decks now, right?
Oh, I'm not saying that's the case. No, I'm just saying that, like, if you are playing certain cards, like, they're not as invincible as they once were.
Right. We were trying to do that, though. So that's why I mentioned it. We were trying to just, like, to Get Lost and Convoke, and we're fine now, you know?
Yeah.
Not the case. But,
What else you got? Any other kind of fun tips you guys want to point out?
Have
things
fun
that are kind of helpful heading into this mentality.
I think you should have fun at the RC, no matter what happens.
Yeah,
I think you should aim to do well, and you should definitely always learn from any games that you lose, and try to see past the emotion of the moment, see past the "well, I just drew lands," and try to see if there were lines that you could take. Try to step back. Rewalk through the game and see if there were lines that you could take if you made a mistake, right?
Yeah.
Especially if this is your first RC since listening to us, that's what I think you should do. You should come to me and let me sign all your cards. And you should, I don't know, World of Coke was really fun.
Yeah. Also, just enjoy DreamHack.
Yeah.
Your record does not define you, I think, is the big one that Ricky's saying there, right? Like, go have fun. Like, that's the number one thing, especially if it's your first one. Like, don't put pressure on yourself where you feel like, oh, you have to improve all the time. Like, it's a game of variance. And, like, yes, over time things will happen, but you have to take the wins with the losses and just go and have a good time, you know?
You know, life happens, and it's really hard to find the time to playtest, especially with such a short span to the RC. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been... I don't feel like I'm fully prepared. I feel like I'm as prepared as I can be. And I put in a ton of hours into playtesting this past week and weekend. But like, if you didn't do that, if you don't feel prepared, it's fine. It's time to lock in your deck. It's time to just go in with the good vibes and play your best. And if we don't do well, you know, there's always the next one.
I also always stand by, like we always say, play your most, at this point, like if you're on the edge trying to figure it out, right?
It's too late if you're listening now because it's Friday.
Yeah, right. If you're still having Han, just pick the deck you have more experience with. I think that, like, this is a thing where I want people to be, you want to be comfortable with what you're doing. So, like, you know, even if one of your friends can pass you a Malia combo, right? You know, possibly one of the best decks in the format right now. And you're just like, but I've played, like, X or Y deck more on, like, every other platform. Play X or Y deck. Like,
Chris, you have any thoughts about the RC?
I think that's exactly right. I think you guys said it, and I wouldn't want to say what somebody else said, you know, again. So I will say that that's what we've been saying since we first started, right? This is a format where you want to play what you know. Mm-hmm. You know, again, if you've been practicing with one of those decks, then I think you've got some really good choices. I think there's very clearly a top three or four, right? I really do think that. I think we've seen an emergence of a top three or four decks. However, you know, again, if you're not prepared to play one of those decks, you know, figure out how you beat one of those decks. Yeah. Right, you know those decks are going to be there. Figure out your sideboard playing whatever you have the most reps with, unless you think your just playing is absolutely abysmal, right? And you want to audible to like a fun deck or something like that. I would definitely be playing the deck that you're most used to. You know, again, I'm big on don't let your record define you. Go and the more relaxed you can be, the better you play. I'm like, the best player.
This showcase qualifier, you have Jun midrange getting second, like right, like Jun Transmog, a deck that's on like no radars, right?
Right, right. Yeah, you got to know what you're, again, you're channeling your guy and you're going off, right? You're tapping it from in and going. You get quick, and if you play against one of the decks that doesn't have removal, right, then or the wrong removal, you know, only a fatal push, you get got pretty quick, and, you know, they just refill out a bunch of control cards. So it's like you said, obviously that's one of my favorite decks. I'm glad you pointed that out, but I'm like the best player when I'm watching somebody else play because I don't feel the stress of the game, you know? Right. Like, I don't know if it's enough for themselves, but like when I'm watching somebody else play, I can easily point out the plays that I cannot see when I'm in the chair myself because I'm worried about whatever else is going on, right? So the more relaxed you can be, the more like outside of yourself I feel like you can be, right? Looking at it from another angle, the better you are. But otherwise, again, like you guys said, there's so much to do with this one, right? Maybe, do you think we're going to have them at DreamHack again? I hope so, but Denver's not
confirmed for Dallas.
Confirm for Dallas, that'll be nice. But, you know, Denver's not going to be. So go enjoy DreamHack, right? Like, learn from the event. I think you want to walk out of DreamHack saying, I learned something, mm-hmm. right? Hopefully something important, but, you know, hey, whatever.
That was how to cash in your return for the ranks at $20 each.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. How to be a big balla, you know?
In the Coke secret formula.
That's exactly right.
Don't steal that. They'll yell at you.
That's exactly right.
All right, what do you guys? Obviously, Ricky, we know you're picking. You're playing Phoenix, right? You're locking in Phoenix.
I'm playing Phoenix. I'm playing main deck Fairy Mastermind, Opter. It just sneaks cards that you shouldn't get, and that can really bring you to the winning the game. You know,
cool.
Also, main decking an Abrade, and I'm playing a lot of counter magic that counters four or greater, which might change, but you know.
I would be locked on if I could go, if I was qualified, you know, I'd be repping these fire shoes signed Wild Growth Walkers, and then borrowing some return throwings from Ricky, before he sells them for $20, because while my returnless deck list that I would be taking to locals, I think is fine, right? Like I just upped my extraction specialist count with our cores and things like that. Right. I do think Return of the Ranks just like, cool, I'll just do it again next turn, like,
yep.
is such a powerful thing. So I think the deck still needs it. But yeah, I mean, I just think that like, this is such a fun, like, it's a fun deck. I'm just really happy. Like the dumb combo deck I liked actually ended up being a thing right in this format. Right. So like, I just want to enjoy that while I can. And also because, I do expect a lot of Phoenix, and Sack is the other deck I would probably, honestly, I really like, I'd probably actually play Spirits or Amalia combo. I think I'm on Amalia combo. I just want to play my girl. I don't know what else to say, but I just want to play my girl.
You don't need to say nothing else. Okay. You don't need to say nothing else. All right. You're not on trial here. Okay.
That's right.
What are you on trial?
honestly, same. I think weirdly enough, like my two decks again are Phoenix, which I've played a pretty decent amount.
And yeah,
we're definitely starting to get the hang of kind of the new version of it. But Amalia also, right? Like I definitely like the, you know, those two color combinations are really my favorite. I really like playing Abzan. I really like playing the other, you know, two fifths of the color pie in Phoenix, right? Is it decks in general? So you can usually find me on one of those two things. And, you know, I don't know which one exactly, probably Amalia, just because I do feel like the internal life gain could do a lot for you. Again, I think a lot of people are like so worried about the combo, like you pointed out. Just Amalia can just be a 7/7.
Yeah.
You can just have a C-Note Scout and, you know, and be exploring a few times. You know, before we were playing the 3/4 that makes a map token, I think that card's fine, right? I think there's a lot of options that you have to kind of explore and just make your things bigger and gain some life. So I really like the options that deck has, you know, in general also. And like you said, it's really resilient with the turn of the ranks, collected company. You see a lot of cards in that deck, just like you do in Phoenix. So, I really like Phoenix when Thing in the Ice is really the main deck choice though. So that's what probably would push me towards Amalia combo.
Mm-hmm.
Is bigger fan of Thing in the Ice than I am of Shredder. So, you know, that would probably push me that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that will do it real quick. I want to say thank you to our most for Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. We have several tiers available, people to come help us out and keep the lights on. They have several, like I said, several tiers, several great options available. Hopefully people are going to start getting the November swag bag soon. They were in the mail, but obviously it is holiday time here in the U.S. and that means mail is ground down to a snail's pace of a halt. So I have, like I said earlier, I ordered these swag bag cards for December already. They have not started showing up yet. And at this point, I'm probably just going to hold them until after New Year's just to like avoid the end of the holiday mail time rush. So expect the December ones just a little bit late, just kind of make sure they don't get lost in the holiday mail time shuffle. But of course, besides that, like I said, everyone gets access to the Patreon tiers, Patreon channels over on the Discord, including Patreon mailbag. You guys have a question that sounds like this. This one comes from Rancor, kind of timely here, actually. It says, if Karn is banned, what artifacts activated ability are you most excited to activate in Pioneer?
Smuggler's Copter.
Honestly, Darksteel Citadel.
Yeah.
Darksteel Citadel is a good one.
Really, that was probably my number one choice, you know?
Oni Cult Anvil.
Yeah. Throne of the Grim Captain.
Sure.
That's pretty, yeah.
Ricky showed me that red card that went and found him Goblin Charbelcher.
Oh, Reckless Handling?
It's a gamble. It's a gamble, but for artifacts.
Yeah, huh. And if you discard your artifact, you get to deal 2 damage.
And you said that card is. You said that card was an Aftermath?
That card's an Aftermath, yeah. That's Legion of Pioneer.
So if you're...
That's why you don't know about it. It's an Aftermath.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was going to say, if you're a a Marvel gamer and you dare to dream, you have a way to tutor up your Marvel to your hand and can theoretically... you do draw a lot of cards, right? The deck kind of dirtles. So like your main green, your green blue guy that gives you energy also draws you cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're not so low on cards that I think that card's unplayable or anything like that.
Now that I think about it, I know how to get Chris in on Amala even harder. Chris, the new tech is Aetherflux.
Aetherflux? What is that?
I thought you knew what Aetherflux was.
Aetherflux Reservoir?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The pay 50 life, deal 50 damage.
Yeah.
Sure. In case we get, see, I haven't played the deck enough to know if like you can do that much life gain to make that card worth it. But I saw a deck worth playing it.
Yeah. Some people are sideboarding it. I'm not on it right now just because it's just like, we're playing so many non Cocoa hits already that like, I don't know if I want to play that one.
Right. Right. You're already up to 12 spells, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, it is also an artifact we can activate now that the card's banned.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. So
Rancor, it's a good one. Sorry, it was so easy to answer in a little bit after the fact. Next week, though, will be a fun week. We will finalize the ballot for the Crew 3 Awards, and we'll just talk about some fun stuff and just remember the year that was for Pioneer. Also, real quick, Can I quickly just say that we, with last week's episode, passed over 200,000 downloads lifetime for the podcast.
Woo! 200K so, downloads. Yeah, thanks, everybody. So
thank you, everyone, for tuning in, like I said, every week here over on Crew 3 with my two best friends talking about the format we all love, doing some Magic cards, having some fun. And again, it also wouldn't be possible without the support of our Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. Please think about joining. Because like I said, this next year, we got more tent comment coming out. Things that are going to be like YouTube channel, stuff like that, that's going to go up on Patreon first. If you want to get ahead of the ball game, listen to exclusive content. Get some fun swag bags. Help us out, right? That would be great and much appreciated. Gentlemen, where can people find you on socials? So we gotta find Ricky's live thread of the RC.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you can find me on the tweeters not tweeting about the RC at @its_Christmas and Christmas has no T.
You can find what I'm playing at the RC, everything about the RC, and probably pictures of the aquarium in Georgia at also Steve.
You can find me at Crew 3 Podcast tweeting about the RC as if I was there.
I'll help with that.
I'm going to have some sick round-by-round updates. Don't worry. It'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, of course, you can find me, like I said, at Crew 3 Podcast, doing all kinds of things. Having a lot of mail time posts. Hopefully those are done now. God, that TCG player order was like a million different things. But anyway, I mean, I also tweet out a lot of fun things besides that. You can of course find us over on twitch.tv/crew3mtg, where we're working on streaming a couple times a week. And then of course over to YouTube channel, youtube.com/crew3mtg, where we post things like VODs, the video version of the podcast, and then soon to be more original content over there as well. So thank you for tuning in, everyone. Be sure to check out all that good stuff. This has been towards the end of a wonderful year, and we'll be back next week as we head into the Christmas holiday. And have some fun. Get ready for the new year. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.